3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. I've given you all the rules.
Yeah.
Don't bang the thing.
Don't bang the thing. Don't move away.
Don't you like when
and stay calm.
Yeah. Don't you like when I give you rules? I'm like, don't bang the thing, but if you bang the thing, it's okay.
Right.
Be calm, but if you're not, it's okay.
Right. So exactly. Everything's
there's like
fine.
No rules here.
Okay. I like that. It's like my house.
But
it's
you great. Were on time. That's really the only rule.
I was early. We said 10:30.
Well, and it's funny because this morning or 2 days ago, I got this text and, you know, I get a checkup every year, my yearly. And I get the text Wednesday morning at 8:50. I'm like, damn it, I have a podcast. And it was at 8:50 and our podcast was going to be at 10:30. And I'm like, that's an hour and 40 minutes. That should be, in a normal world, should be fine. But at a doctor's office.
Half of that's waiting.
Right.
And then, yeah.
But I try to get my doctor's first opening.
Okay. Well, that was smart.
Because he can't really be off too bad by then, right?
No. I just told my babysitter to be early in case I hit traffic coming down.
How was the traffic?
There was none. It was fine.
I felt like the traffic leaving Rehoboth was worse than the traffic coming to Rehoboth.
It was fine. And I got to listen to music that was mine. There were no kids' songs playing. It was fantastic.
Baby Shark. Yeah. How old are your kids?
2 and 5.
2 and 5. Well, yeah. I have a 6, a 7, and a 13.
Yeah. So you're past Baby Shark. But they still have, no?
Teresa, my little one, she loves Baby Shark.
Does she really?
Oh, that's too funny. I love it. Well, it's wearing off a little bit. I mean, what's it been a couple years now?
Yeah, my 5-year-old's past it. He's too cool.
You know, if you do CPR, you can do CPR to Baby Shark.
Yeah, but there's a remix.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's the bad thing. What if you're hearing the remix in your head and you're trying to do CPR? Pretty negative.
Do you watch Live PD?
No.
Well, we love Live PD. Don't ask me why, because actually when I watch it, I get annoyed. But this guy hit a squirrel, and this cop pulls up, and, you know, the camera's following him, and he is giving this squirrel CPR, or he's giving him chest compressions with one finger. And the squirrel, you know what a squirrel's like, you know, white belly up, flat, and he's giving him chest compressions, and he's like, what's going on, man? He goes, I hit the squirrel. You know, this guy's very, you know, I guess he really loves animals, and he's giving him chest compressions, and you could tell the cop's like, oh, my God. And so finally he goes, well, why don't you turn the squirrel on his stomach and maybe you can push on his back and rub him or something. And he does. And then he's doing it and they're all kind of talking like maybe this is silly. And then the squirrel just revives and takes off running.
So he actually did save a squirrel's life.
He saved a squirrel's life. Now, I don't know if squirrels do the like the old possum, you know, they play
like
dead.
If he was playing dead. Oh.
Maybe they do that, but it was pretty funny.
I wonder if he sang Baby Shark while he did it.
Do you have anything to drink? You got something
I
over
do.
There?
I do. I have my Camelback.
Stay hydrated? Hydrated?
Yeah.
Hydrated?
That's just water in here, I promise.
So, I did a podcast with Megan Saini.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's a friend of yours, or you know
we
her?
We live in the same neighborhood. In the world of Facebook, the friend is like a loose term. I've met her at book club twice. I have seen her at the park, and I know who she is.
So when you see, that is, and we're going to talk, we got an hour, so we're going to chat.
We're good.
We're going to keep this pretty chill. But isn't it funny when, I have like, I think almost 1,800 friends on Facebook.
Right.
And I probably, in real life, I have 4 friends.
Right. Oh, I'm the same way.
So if I see somebody that I'm friends with on Facebook in the grocery store, sometimes I'll go up and say, hey, I'm Tom. We're friends on Facebook. I thought I'd just introduce myself. Do you ever do that? Do you ever like introduce yourself to people that are only your friends on Facebook? Have you ever run into them?
All the time. But usually it's not that awkward because usually we know that we're friends and it's like a Facebook friendship only. So normally like that kind of helps you break through that first level of comfort, I feel like. And it makes small talk easier. But sometimes it's weird because some of my friends are like theater friends who I haven't seen in, God, like 10, 11 years. Right. So when I see them, they're just like, how do we know each other? And I was like, well,
and that happened to me at the gym. And this lady's like, how do we know each other? And I'm like, Facebook? Probably.
<Right. laughs> That's usually the answer. You're like, Facebook, I'm sure, or friend of a friend or something. We've connected somehow.
And when you have kids, especially young kids, especially like elementary school, you know, there's all sorts of parents that are all dropping them off. And where do you live, up in Dover, towards Dover?
We're Middletown.
Middletown. Yeah. So a little bit bigger, but down here, and it's getting bigger down here, but it's such a, you know, we have a pretty small community. And then when you have the community of just like parents of elementary school kids, it gets really small. So you almost kind of all, that group kind of just kind of grows together.
Yeah.
But it is funny. And once I unfriended somebody on Facebook, and then I ran into her. I was like, hey, and I gave her a hug and stuff. And she goes, well, you unfriended me on Facebook. And I go, well, I just want to be friends in real life still, though. I mean, you know, but I guess there's a difference. You can't.
I guess there is. I don't know. I unfriended a lot of people once I had kids.
Yeah.
Because I was just a little particular about how well I actually knew them and were they seeing all these pictures of my kids and post about them. So I kind of did like a cleanse after
that. Isn't that weird? You know, as a child, as a parent, you know, we protect our kids. Come here, you know, we can't let them get off the bus by themselves. It's so, we just got back from New York City. We went, not New York City, we went to Brooklyn and we got up there maybe around 3 o'clock and all the kids were getting out of school. And the first thing I noticed is just these groups of young children just walking the streets of Brooklyn by themselves, like going home,
like it's just, nothing. Yeah.
Right. They're walking home from school and then I saw like a mom with 5 little kids on, you know, blade scooters and stuff. And they all pull up to the corner and they all, you know, stare at the, you know, the crosswalk sign and changes to walk. And then they go across. I mean, like they've evolved, you know, to handle the city. I don't know. It's funny that all this fear and stuff, and the reality is that most people are just putting through life without any trouble.
Right.
I always say the worst person that I ever met, the worst influence on me as a child, was my dad's boss's son, and he was like 2 years older. His hair, he parted his hair in the middle. Super cool. Thought he was just the shit.
Yeah.
And you know, he loved the band Kiss, and he rode a bike really fast, and he played guitar. And I just thought any words that came out of that kid's mouth were just like from God himself.
Yeah.
And I was just looked up to him so much. And then he was a kid, you know, it's like, you know, let's rifle through the cabinets. Let's try your parents' liquor. And we invited him in. Right. We invited him in.
Yeah.
So, you know, just when we think we're like on guard and protecting everybody and protecting our family, sometimes it's the ones we let in.
That's true. Yeah. Never thought of it that way.
Be careful.
Well, one of my kids is very cautious. The other one I have to watch, definitely. The other one, even if we invited that person in, he'd be like, you need to go. You're not following the rules.
You are not following.
He would literally escort them out.
Well, and honestly, you know, and the real problem was me. You know, I had no, I didn't think great of myself. I was easily inspired. I had no original thought. I wasn't a leader. I was a follower.
Yeah.
And I was a little kid, so, you know, I need to lighten up. But the fact is that I was that kid. I was just ready.
Yeah.
And not every kid's like that. And I think as kids now, someone was saying, you know, like as adults, we struggle with like Twitter, you know, or this social media. You know, we see it in me, our age, these people that, you know, they can't handle it. But they say, oh, these kids, are, you know, what are they going to have? And really, these kids are growing up with it. They'll probably be a lot more evolved as far as handling that stuff, letting it roll off their back, not being so affected. You know, it's really new. It's kind of a unique situation. It's new to adults who aren't really learning as well as little kids do. But then, you know, putting our insecure feelings about social media on little kids, when little kids are like, for instance, I don't do Twitter. Are you on Twitter?
No, it confuses me.
Yeah, it's confusing. My son's on Twitter. I'm like, oh my God, don't be on Twitter. I would hate someone to like bad or say something or be critical of something that you posted. He's like, I don't really care about that. I'm like, oh,
that's good.
I'm like, oh, wow. So
that's really good.
It's funny that, you know, as adults who know everything, we're so fragile when it comes to like social media and breaking up and, you know, losing friends and gaining friends. But our kids are like, it's just the way it's been that way since I've been born.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I've never thought of it that way. I know it's like definitely a highlight reel and people are like, look how perfect that person looks or their family. And I'm just like, nobody writes all the bad stuff on Facebook. Nobody's like, my kids are horrible today. I had the worst headache ever and I ate 5 burritos. Nobody writes that. They write, you know, they put up the highlight reel.
Right. But see, and so, I think that's, but you thought it through.
Yeah.
You said, oh, look at how they perfectly look, but nobody's this. And, you know, you worked it out and you made a conscious decision to realize that that's not the way their world is.
Right.
I feel like a lot of people, they say, well, oh, you know, they're doing this. And like humans aren't smart enough to figure it out. Like this, you know, what they say about elections, you know, they're putting stuff to create arguments to people fight and then we don't have, you know, community and they're breaking up community with this. And I'm like, don't people think about like, is it like if I see someone go, that's exactly what they're doing and I don't really care. I just delete it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Give us some credit, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I just grew up yesterday, and I feel I'm just like flopping my grown-up wings all of a sudden today. So listen, you reached out to me.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing.
Thank you. Me too.
First of all, my apologies, no disrespect. And you want to introduce yourself so the world knows who you are?
The world. Sure.
Our little world here.
Our world. I am Courtney Clark. I own Drama Kids of Wilmington, but do not let the name fool you. It's really not just Wilmington. We're basically all of Newcastle County. It is a drama education program for kids aged 5 and up. And we do musical theater, we do public speaking, we work on self-confidence, we do camps, we do workshops. It's honestly been life-changing for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
What brought you into that? Just having kids?
No, Facebook. Shocking. Shocking.
Shocking.
I was a teacher for a long time. I coached gymnastics. I basically have never done anything but work with kids. That was my whole life.
God bless you.
Yeah, right. And then my passion was theater, so I performed a lot. And long story short, when I was pregnant with our first, we were looking at the cost of daycare, and my husband was just like, well, it's honestly not feasible. It's a paycheck just to put our kid in daycare. Why don't you consider staying home? And I was more than happy to do that. And people kept tagging me in this post on Facebook about a guy who needed to sell his Drama Kids franchise. They kept tagging me and tagging me. And I would just say, LOL, thanks so much. Don't have the money. And just kind of ignore it until one day I was like, well, why am I ignoring this? Let me really talk to the guy. So I did. He told me what it cost. I told him, no way, we can't do that, but thank you so much. I researched it a lot more, and I just was like, this company is everything I believe in. I can stay home with our kids. I can work. I can still share my passion. Let's see if we can make it work.
Make a little money.
Yeah. So long story short, the guy, I guess, interviewed maybe three other people and called me and was just like, you know what? This is like an adoption to me. This is me picking a new family for my baby. Mm-hmm. And you're who I want. What can you afford? I told him a number. He took it, and that was it.
And away you went.
Yeah. So it's been, not to sound like a big cheese ball, but it's been totally life-changing. I don't miss anything that my kids do. I've seen first steps, heard all their first words, been home with them.
And that's not cheese ball.
Yeah. But it's been... very lucky. And any business owner will tell you the first 2 years are hard. You're doubting everything. You're not making any money. You're just kind of watching it fly out the window constantly as you're pounding pavement and fighting so hard for what you believe in. But years 3 through 5 have just been phenomenal. We've gone from like 25 kids to 400 to 500 to just kind of holding steady at where we are. And it's been amazing. So
that's awesome. Well, yeah. I don't think it's cheese ball. I think it's really cool to share that, especially that personal kind of feeling, because it is scary. It is, you know, because we lay in bed and we daydream of being a millionaire. You know, yeah. we daydream of all the success, and it doesn't happen. And you're like, oh my God. And, you know, I call it redefining my business happiness, you know?
Yeah.
And because I opened this salon the same way, and I thought, oh, I remember I had a plan. I'm going to have, you know, 9 stylists and it's going to be like this. Right. And I remember I opened the door and I'm like, all right, where's my 9 guys or folks that were going to come work with me? Nobody came. I was like, uh-oh. Then it got real.
Yeah, it's
but
hard.
You know what? There's also somebody sitting out on the couch right now doing the same thing. I wish I could just open this business or just take that next step, but I'm just so scared. So it's great when people like you come on and they talk about how you did it and you survived and it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, I mean, we're a franchise, so we do have a lot of support from corporate. But sometimes corporate will have me talk on the phone to people who are thinking about buying a franchise. And I tell them, I was like, I'm never going to lie to you. The first year is really, really hard. I was like, but if you believe in your product, I was like, I don't even consider what I do sales. I was like, I say what we do is we share what we do. I share my passion. And if you would like to come join me, come join me. I don't ever want anybody to feel pressured into doing it. It's just something I believe in. If you think it sounds cool, hop on board.
What age? I mean, so I have a 6, a 7, and a 13. Who can come over?
All of them.
All of them.
Seriously, yeah. For camps, if your kid's 4 and as long as they're potty trained, bring them on. For our classes that are in school, they have to be obviously kindergarten or older. And then for a musical theater program, 4 and up. So we take everybody.
So what's a day? So a camp is like a week?
Right now we're doing two-week camps because we're putting on like full-scale productions.
Okay.
So we're doing Alice in Wonderland, but as a straight play, so no music is involved. It's just the actual like story, fairy tale. And then we're doing, it's called Let's Eat the Musical. I have to say that because it sounds like I'm saying Let's Eat the Musical. Always makes me really hungry, but it's this really cute musical set to like 50s doo-wop tunes and adorable.
Do you guys have outfits and all that stuff?
Oh yeah, we have costumes. A lot of it's donated, a lot of it we make, a lot of it we rent out from other theaters who have done productions that we're doing.
Do you know Michelle Xyz?
No.
Xyz.
No.
She has the I think it's Sussex Academy dance down in Milford, I think. But the only reason I brought that up because she had a girl that worked for her that made all of their costumes. I mean, she actually sent her in. I did her hair because of the, you know, the girl just does so much. There's so much, you know. It's people don't realize all the work that goes into a play. I mean,
it's a lot. And thankfully, that's not really the focus of our program. That's like what we do for camps for in school classes. It's we have set curriculum. We have minimal props because we're teaching the kids more about how to talk face to face, how to have more confidence in themselves. A lot of them aren't actors or theater kids. They're just coming to us to kind of find their voice. Just as much technology is awesome, but kids also don't have to talk face to face anymore. They can Snapchat, they can Instagram each other. They kind of take away from actual conversations, and you'll see that that's affecting how they can present themselves to a classroom or a group. So we say that we're kind of building their life skills. When you guys go on a job interview when you're 17 or 18, you're going to need to know how to speak face-to-face with clarity to somebody. When you're doing an oral report in school, you're going to need to stand up in front of the class and present your thoughts and your ideas in a cohesive manner. So we just make it exciting by using drama as the tool to enhance that. But it's important.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, I feel the same way. I don't know what our kids are going to be like as they grow up and, you know, because they love, you know, technology and playing on computer, and they talk through the phone, and it's a big difference from them than what we grew up with. So, you know, hats off to you. I think that's a great idea. And, you know, and you also might find kids that really just find that as a passion, you know, theater.
Yeah. And
because like even, you know, my one son, David, you know, he's a great singer. He's too shy to try it. But, you know, if he was involved in a theater or a musical and he was able to sing with the rest of the kids that are singing, not maybe as feeling as judged, maybe he would be a little more open to singing.
And I think that's the difference. I mean, obviously, community theater and professional means the world to me because that's where I found my passion. But the shyer kids, the kids that might not have that ability quite yet, they're not going to get a chance in a community theater production because they're going to audition and their skill set is not going to be what the show needs at the time, so they're not going to be allowed in, which is fine. That's how it works. That's life. But how are they going to figure it out and get better if they're not giving that chance? So we kind of prime and prep them.
Yeah.
We don't cut anybody. Everybody shows up and gets a part. And if it's a person like your son who may be a good singer but doesn't want a solo, he'll kind of gain his confidence by singing with the ensemble or the chorus. And we've seen kids. We had a kid come to us last summer who would not even audition. We didn't even know she could sing. We're like, who wants to come up and sing for a part? And she's like, no, I'm okay. So then we did Seussical, and she comes to sing for us, and I just sit there bawling as this, like, stunning voice comes out of this child. And I was like, who are you? Hmm. She's like, I've always liked it, but now I'm confident. And I was just like, that is amazing to me to watch you go from you wouldn't even sing in front of me alone in a room to you just landed the lead in our show, and you're seven. So it's stuff like that that I'm just like, man, I'm just in the right place. Like, to watch that kind of growth in a child that young is amazing.
That is very cool. And
yeah.
So you do two camps in the summer, two-week camps?
Two-week camps in the summer. We actually don't focus a lot on camps. My husband's a teacher, and because our kids are so young and we're at the good point in our business, we kind of take the summer, quote-unquote, off as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he had a different job, it would be a different story. But yeah, so we just do two-week camps, and that's it.
But what about just daily? Like, what
daily else? In the summer?
Well, I mean, the rest of the year.
Oh, the rest of the year?
Yeah,
oh,
so your business isn't just a summer-based business.
It's basically a school year business. You're looking at September through May.
Okay.
During the school year, we run about 35 classes a week,
okay,
and we're in about 20-something schools, 27. So a typical school year will be on a Monday. We have 5 after-school programs running in 5 different schools.
But you're not down here.
No.
Why is that?
Aren't you not Newcastle County?
No.
Yeah. That's why Sussex. I'm not down here. I know. It's not my territory. I'm not allowed. I would have to buy you.
But there's no but there's no drama kids down here.
You are correct. And I've looked into expanding. It's a 5-year goal of mine is to expand. But right now, having a kid still at home, it's not as... Those first 2 years were really difficult. And I can't imagine doing it right now with a 2-year-old. So I think I'm going to wait until my youngest...
Well, just hire somebody.
Yeah, but then I have to salary them.
Pay them.
I don't have all that.
Well, you don't know you don't have it because until that business opens.
You sound like corporate. You're like, just do it.
Well, no, listen. No, you know what I sound like? I sound like a business person.
Yeah.
But what we are, you and I, Courtney, we are not business people, but we are in small business because I'm the same way. You know, if I make a dollar, I want to hide it. I'm like, oh my God, we made some money. Let's
put it away. I think that's how I am because people are like, you're like, financially, you're very successful. And I'm like, yes, but I don't like to spend that financial aspect of
exactly.
What I'm doing.
But my buddy Matt, who has passed away, but he'd be like, you know, you have to put it all back in the business.
I do. It's kind of been like a hamster wheel of thoughts for the past 2 years. I mean, I've called corporate and I'm like, give me the price on Sussex. Run up some numbers for Chester County. I want to see. And they're probably tired of me at this point. They're just like, just call us
I'm
when you're ready.
I'm thinking about opening now. No, we got... Uh-oh. We're competition.
Hey, if you open, I actually get a bonus for you opening.
Oh, gosh. Well, there's a Possum Point, youth Possum Point.
You have Possum Point players. You guys have Rehoboth. Actually, our realtor's wife is a piano teacher kind of in the area. So she's approached me before, and she's interested in helping out if I ever do it. It's just... I think I have something holding me back from taking that like plunge into expansion.
Fear.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. And to be honest, Sussex is not, it's not always my first choice because I live in Middletown. Mm-hmm. So my issue is how close am I if a problem arises? Mm-hmm. Am I an hour away? Am I 30 minutes away? Am I super close to get there to play, you know, to put a Band-Aid on the fix? That's what worries me. So I feel like if I expanded to Sussex, I would have to hire a full or part-time person to cover Sussex.
You probably need to hire a manager to manage all of it.
I did, and they had a very, very sad story where they had to quit because, no, I do way too much by myself. My business is to the point that I should have an admin, and I did, and something, it's actually sad, but something happened, and she had to leave, and I haven't gotten a new one.
Hmm. Well, I'm slightly kidding about, you know, opening a place down here.
No, it's a fantastic franchise.
Sussex, Rehoboth is a great little town, but, you know, it's not packing the kids like Middletown.
Not yet. I feel like you guys are the next Middletown, though, with the way it's being built
up. Well, it is growing, but I think it's a lot of retired folks. I'm not sure. Yeah. A lot of retired... I'm going to say this generally. A lot of retired folks who aren't as really interested in kid stuff. Especially right. Like building new schools and stuff like that.
Right, so
and
that's
I get
also
it.
The issue is that's why I was looking at Chester instead because mm-hmm. that's 30 minutes away for me and it's a huge like family packed area. So
it would be cool if there was something after school at the like either at Rehoboth. I don't know. My other son goes to Sussex Academy. I don't know if they have a drama department or something there, but. I would like him to do it, whether he liked it or not, just to try it, just to have fun with it.
Why not? Bring him up to Middletown. It's only an hour. It's fine. You can do it once a week.
I feel like I feel like I don't have an hour.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, between, you know, my actual job is I'm a hairdresser.
Yeah, true.
You know, I own a hair salon. And but on my days off, like today's my day off, I do podcasts.
Right.
I only work a half day on Monday. The second half of the day, I do podcasts.
Yeah.
Because I love doing podcasts.
No, I mean, that's cool. But I guess maybe that's also my other fears. Right now, I love hanging out with my kids.
Well, and that's true. And you know what? You won't get that time back.
Yeah, I don't know. I like my day trips with my 2-year-old. I don't know. So my goal is when he's in kindergarten, I'll really
readdress it. I always fantasize about opening a restaurant. I feel for some dumb reason I think I'm a chef, which I'm not. But
yeah,
you know, I can cook a steak and I can cook a few things for the four of us. Could I do it for 40? I doubt it. But I had this idea of maybe buying or taking over this restaurant that was next door, because of course I have the answers. And my wife goes, "You see this part right here where we're sitting down watching TV?" And I go, "Yeah." She goes, "That would not happen anymore." And I go, "Oh, never mind. I'm done.
Exactly.
Forget that. I'm not going to do that."
Exactly. And it's hard. I mean, your spouse is kind of, they have to be as understanding as they can when you're a business owner. I mean, my husband's super supportive, but there's also a lot of time where I'm out of the house, or even though I'm in there. Yeah, there is a bug over there. I see
it's freaking fly, man.
We
had the great idea yesterday to open up the doors and work, and about 100 flies came in. So I've been fly swatting flies all morning.
That's how it was after my son's birthday party, because we had just kids coming in and out of the house. We had like 30 flies the next day.
So how long have you been doing the Drama Kids?
5 years.
5 years. Have mm-hmm. you seen, have you had like, and I don't know how any of this works, but yeah. Have you had kids come back every year?
I have kids that have been with me from the start.
Nice.
Yeah. The good thing is I went into this already in contact with a lot of kids through coaching, through kids I had taught. So I actually have kids that I've coached in that I've known since they were three as their gymnastics coach that are now 5 years in with me at Drama Kids.
Hold on, I'm leaning over because I'm getting the fly swatter.
No, it's okay. So it's actually pretty neat. And yeah, we have two kids that have been with us since the start, and the rest are at least 3 or 4 years in. So I tell my husband, I was like, it's like a family too at this point. We have such great relationships with everybody. It's just, it's awesome.
Well, and you're providing something, you know, when you you have your folks that like would like to see their kid try something, and then you have your folks that really believe their kids, you know, something
right.
special.
Right.
And it's nice when there's an outlet.
We have both. We have some kids that have been with us for 5 years that'll probably never go try out for a show because that's just not who they are. But they love Drama Kids. They love the class and they love the energy that they get from it. Then, yes, we have kids that have been with us for so long and they're like, you know, they're up at musical theater camp. They're taking voice lessons. They're taking acting lessons and they're super serious about it. And they love that we're here to kind of guide them.
Do you have a Facebook page?
I do. Drama Kids of Wilmington.
Drama Kids of Wilmington.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to find out about your classes and all the cool stuff that you're doing, you just go to your Facebook page?
They would go to the Facebook page. They also could go to the website, which is dramakids.com/DE1.
All right. I'll put those two websites in the link when I post,
awesome.
The, post
yeah.
the page. But
cool.
That's really cool. I have a good friend of mine, Donna De Kuyper. She does theater. She's great. And yeah. she's always telling me, let's get David, that's my older son, let's get David into, is it Possum Point Juniors, I think?
Point Players.
Or well, I think they have a juniors
They
now.
Do. Oh, okay. I don't know.
So, but she's like, let's do that. And I'm like, oh, I really would like to, but my time is so screwed up right now. But I'm going to have to talk to him about it because it's a great way to get involved into it with a group of friends, become accountable.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, it seems like a lot of these kids don't really have anything to be accountable to. It's just, I'm like, dude, you lost your headphones. Oh, I'm sorry. It's like,
that's true.
We're not going to hurt, you know, we're not going to, the punishment isn't that great. And, you know, but when it's your peers, all of a sudden you start becoming, because even, you know, in some of the programs, not theater, but, you know, after school programs, you know, I got to get there. You know, they're waiting for me. You know,
right.
So
absolutely.
I like the idea.
That sense of commitment and that sense of teamwork and taking pride in what you're doing as well.
What is? Oh, almost got him. So what is? Ooh, what is a? Sorry.
It's okay.
This fly.
People could only just see this.
Yeah. Well, they can see I'm terrible at killing flies. That's for sure. So like through the school year, what is it? Like kids come after school?
Kids come after school for an hour. So generally like 3:30 to 4:30, they'll come hang out with us. We have set lesson plans that kind of build on each other. So each class will do speech work with them, how to articulate, how to enunciate, how to project. We will work with them on creating a scene together, improv skills. And then we usually end with like a casual theater game just to kind of wrap things up. And we even work with them on short little scenes, but we really, really love the fact that we kind of line drill with them. So we don't ever just hand them a piece of paper and say, hey, here's your script. Go practice for 2 minutes and come back and show the class. We show them exactly what to do step by step. They never have a piece of paper in their hand. So that makes them even way more aware of their body language and their facial expressions and how to kind of work together as a team, because they're not relying on a slip of paper.
So during the school year, though, are you working towards a final show?
We have two general goals. We have a fall session and a spring session. Mm-hmm. The end of the fall session, we invite the parents in just for a presentation. Just, hey, come see what we do. Come participate in the class. And then we usually force the parents to play some crazy game with us, but they end up having fun. But our end goal in May is a spring play where I actually rent out a theater and the kids have rehearsed and costumed about like a 15-minute short play. And we pack the auditorium. We fill up the theater with family and friends. It's a free event. The kids perform and they get a award at the end. And that award is based on how long they've been with us. So it's a ribbon, a medal, a trophy. And that's kind of like, we call it our spring show. And the kids love it. It's kind of a big deal. It's almost like akin to a dance recital at the end of a season. Mm. So they kind of, they build up through that throughout the school year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a ton of fun.
The, I think the amount like of parents that show up to those kind of things is great too. Like we, I just was coming down 24. I think it's eighth grade graduation over at Beacon. The whole field was packed. Like,
you
know, parents love to get involved and support their children, you know, especially when like theater and stuff like that. And that, I'm sure that helps that kind of business. I mean, it would be one thing if you were, you know, just helping the kids, but if their parents didn't show up and support them, that's probably like half the battle, isn't it?
Well, it is. And also, like, as a parent myself, how nice is it for the parents to actually come in and see where their money's going? Like, oh, so this is what I'm paying for. That's great. Look at, I actually can see the progression of skills that my child has attained. I mean, it, obviously, it's great for the kids, but I think it's awesome for the parents, too. So they're literally just like, that's exactly what Drama Kids is. It's great that I had a chance to see that. Because a lot of the times you sign your kid up for something and you don't have always that luxury to sit back and watch and see like an end result out of it at the end.
Well, and what I like, you know, I'm not a big fan of camps. Not that camps aren't fine, but I'm not a big fan of them. I've gone to, I put my kids in a couple of them and they were just, they dreaded it. And the last camp I sent my kid, Sam, to was a Minecraft camp because my kids love Minecraft. They love playing it.
Yeah, why not?
It
sounds like it would be cool.
They're like, oh yeah, they're going to do a Minecraft camp. And I thought they would maybe set up a landline so they could all kind of play together in a group on the computers. And I got there, and they were all just sitting around playing Minecraft on their laptops or on their iPads.
You're like, I could have done that at home.
They did do that at home. So, you know, it was really about babysitting.
Right.
Which
some parents need and are,
absolutely. You know. I wouldn't assign them if I didn't need it.
Yeah.
But the, you know, the thing doing it throughout the school year is a little different because, you know, you're like, it's on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, it's not just babysitting.
No, we're building, we build relationships with these kids, these schools, these parents. We have great parents. Every year we sing at the Blue Rocks game. We do the national anthem.
Oh, wow.
And it's just whoever wants to sing with us that's in our program comes. And, I mean, these parents come out in droves just to help. What do you guys need? Do you guys need water? Do you want anybody at rehearsal with you? I mean, it's just, it's amazing to see. You almost got it.
I'm staring
at it.
This fly is going to be a guest on this podcast.
Yeah, maybe he has a lot to say.
You know, when I first talked to you, I thought, I kind of felt like the program that you offered was to help like special needs kids build up confidence.
We have special needs classes, but we work with everybody.
Well, and that's great. But I would, did you see who won the Tony Award? Oh my God! This, hold on a second.
It's on your laptop.
This is getting serious. All right, we're back. Sorry about that. I had to kill a fly. It was like seriously in my face.
It really was.
But did you see who won the Tony Award this year? I just saw it on the news two nights ago.
I did not watch the Tonys, but I thought it was Ally Booker for Oklahoma.
Yeah, and she's in a wheelchair.
Which was fantastic.
That
was really amazing.
Yeah, and her speech was really cool. And she said, this is for all the kids that have been waiting for someone who with a handicap to win an award. I guess now you can all go for it.
I think it's fantastic. We actually, like I said, we include everybody, but there's actually a really great organization up by me called Able Arts, uh-huh. and it's specifically for people maybe with physical disabilities, mental disabilities, and they, it's just so amazing because they make things accessible for people that...
Well, and I didn't know, did the role that she played, was that a girl that was handicapped, or was she just... A girl in a wheelchair playing a regular role.
Yeah, which I think should happen way more often. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, me too. But yeah. I wasn't sure, you know, like, was it Andy?
No, it was, it's not written for, I mean, who wants to say it was written for an able body? But no, it was not written for, to be played by a person in a wheelchair. Yeah, it was they looked past everything like they should always do.
So what's it going to take to open one in Sussex County? Oh, I got him. Ugh. He's dead.
You're funny.
What?
There's another one. Yeah, sorry. You got that one too. It's
nice.
Okay.
I'm a ninja.
In Sussex, it's going to take about another 30,000 if you have it lying
around.
Is that
what it costs? Is that what it takes to get one of these places going?
Every place is different.
Is that a franchise fee?
No, every single place is different. So it's hard for me to say what it would cost because it's based on territory, demographics. So what Sussex would cost is not what Chester would cost.
I wasn't trying to get a number out there.
No, I'm just saying I don't.
You said it, so I was like, "Oh, what was it? 30,000?
Yeah, yeah. No, I blurted out a number. I was like 30,000. Yeah, that sounds good.
It's probably like 100.
Yeah. Definitely not what I originally bought it for. That was like highway robbery.
So let's say you open Drama Kids up down here in Sussex County. So how do you get tied in with the schools?
No, you have to do all the groundwork yourself. That's the hard part. Is say I opened, I would just spend months on the phone calling every school I could figure out, maybe calling you back and be like, David, do you know any teachers? Do you know anybody on the PTA? Just kind of pounding the pavement, seeing what connections I had, what schools I could do, and just asking permission to offer the program and hoping I got a yes. And then if I didn't, I would concentrate on renting out a community space and kind of marketing it that way. So... that's the other kind of scary aspect is you're starting from ground zero again. Not that it's easy in Delaware. It's not. I mean, I've worked hard to get it to where I've gotten it, but our school districts are very good to us. We truly just pick up the phone, call, ask if we can be there, and they always say yes. That doesn't equate a successful class. I mean, school districts have told us yes, and 2 kids have signed up. School districts have told us yes, and 40 kids have signed up. It's all kind of a toss-up. But we have not met much resistance getting into the schools. They've been amazing to us.
So you could, so to speak, have a program at the school that the kids just stay at school after school and do the class and then maybe get picked up after school.
And that's, I think, the draw for parents, too. It gives them kind of an extra hour. They're not rushing to get their kid at 3:30 or 3:20, or their kid's also not on a bus for an hour after school. They're doing something that they enjoy that's good for them, that's growing them in confidence. So yeah, they get picked up, or some of them go to the after school program that's already set up in the school, like the Y or the Boys and Girls Club.
Right, the Y, you know, Sam, my little one goes to the Y after school.
Yeah, so I mean, if that's where they normally go, because mom and dad can't get there till 5, they just go there when they're done with us.
But that would be cool if you could go to like this drama class after school.
Right. But I mean, after school programming is a big thing nowadays. You have Drama Kids, you have Odyssey of the Mind, you have Lego League, you have Girls on the Run. I mean, it's just...
Oh my God, my older boy did Odyssey of the Mind.
Yeah.
And oh my God, the parents were the problem.
Don't the parents run that? Don't you have to be like a parent that teaches
it? They ran it into the ground. The group that my parents, or the group that my son was involved in.
Yeah.
And, you know, no offense, but, you know, the parents couldn't stay out of it. And
that's tough.
They got in a big old fight. The parents did. And they went to the competition. They won the competition, but got disqualified because the parents' behavior.
That's really sad.
It was sad.
Oh.
And you look, if you ask one parent, if you hear their story, they're, you know, oh, my God, I hear you. And then you listen to the other parent, you're like... oh, well, I hear you. You know, it's like they're both great stories. I'm sure they're both, you know, justified, but it screwed them up. And so Dave won't even do Odyssey of the Mind anymore.
Aww. That's, I mean, but I love that there's so much for kids to do and like choose from. I think because of the 9-to-5 or the working parents atmosphere, that fly just came back to life.
Oh my God, like the squirrel on Live PD.
It's like you gave it CPR or something. He's it not, really just came back to
he's
life.
He's not alive
crawling.
Now.
He sorry, is not, that was distracting.
We're one guest less. He's gone.
Sorry, sir.
He's been vaporized. Well, there are a lot of great programs. And then, you know, a lot of like the music teacher over at Rehoboth, he does like drum lessons and stuff. And
oh, yeah. So one of my former employees does a lot. I don't know what it's called, but Karen Murdoch, she does a lot down in Rehoboth. She's a singer-songwriter that's local. She's amazing. And I was lucky enough that she drove up to work for me for a year. But she does theater programming down here as well.
Where'd you grow up?
Wilmington. No, Newcastle. I thought you meant where did I move from.
No, Newcastle, is that a town or is that a county?
Both, yes.
There's a town called Newcastle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Newcastle, Delaware.
So you're a lifer.
I went away for college. I went to Old Dominion in Virginia.
Okay.
And then I moved to Florida for 5 years. And yeah, then I came back.
It's funny because I lived here and it's weird. For my story.
Yeah.
Every time I move somewhere, I hate it. And I mope around and I'm miserable. And then whether I move away, I grew up in New Mexico, moved to San Diego, hated it. And then moved back to Albuquerque and then was forced to go back to San Diego and then realized how much I loved it.
Yeah, I was like, wow, we've only visited, but we love San Diego.
San Diego is amazing.
Going back in November.
So I moved to Rehoboth and hated it. And then I finally actually took a job over in Eastern Maryland. And I was like, thank God, I'm ready to get out of this town. I was over there for 4 years, and I'm like, I cannot wait to get back to the beach.
Yeah, wow.
So, you know, you almost have to kind of move away to appreciate it.
Yeah.
This area is just great.
I mean, it seems that I don't personally have a beach house, but family has a beach house down at Potnets. So, I mean, we go back and forth a lot. Then my aunt and uncle will be in Millsboro soon.
Not many people have a beach house.
No, well, I don't. It's not mine. It's extended families that they just
generously.
I obviously haven't taken my program.
Oh my God. I had a girl on the other day and I started to try to say acidity.
Yeah.
And I was like, because we were talking about wine and we're talking about soil. And I'm like, oh yeah, different soil has different acidity.
Right.
Acidity.
It's like I forget English sometimes.
I'm like, what is that word?
Yeah,
acidity.
I don't know.
Acidity. Oh.
I think it's just age. We just get.
What's the microphone? You put a microphone in and all of a sudden there's like pressure and you're like, yeah. What is that word?
What's that word about being generous and kind?
Do you listen to podcasts?
No.
Have you ever been on a podcast?
No.
Do you know where to see them or do you know where to listen to them?
I do, but if you've ever been in the car with my children, they're very demanding. And if I don't play The Lion King over and over and over again, things get ugly. I can't really listen to podcasts in the car.
Well, you could listen to one on the way down today.
I could have, but I was so pumped to actually have my own music. I was just like jamming out the whole ride down.
Well, you know, a podcast is kind of like what you're doing. It allows you to have a little bit of a stage. You know,
yeah,
you don't have to
be,
you don't have to be in New York City or, you know, in the big cities. You can still provide, you know, you can still be a teacher. You can still provide a service to kids, especially kids that, you know, maybe this will be a stepping stone to New York City or to L.A. or Hollywood or something like that. And that's what I like about podcasting. You know, I don't have to be, I'm a hairdresser. You know, I can just, but I can still chat with people and post it. And, you know, when I first started doing the podcast, I still love Joe Rogan. And he has like, you know, Elon Musk and he has these great guests. And I'm like, I'm never going to be a great podcaster because I can't have Elon Musk on. But then I forgot and had to remember that the little guests that I have here in this little town are great. And people love to, hear real people's stories.
I was going to say, and think about this, like when I told people I was on a podcast today, they're like, share the link when you get home. I'm so excited to listen to it. So, I mean, the support that those small town guests have is sometimes a lot bigger than a big time guest has because it's out of the blue. I've never done a podcast, Courtney. I've never heard you on a podcast. I can't wait to see it. I mean, I told you corporate was like, send us the link. They'll probably be like, you guys talked about flies a lot, but I'm sure they'll still be very proud of me.
Didn't talk about flies a lot.
We
just for about
flies.
5 seconds and then we killed him.
Then we killed him.
Well, and that's the other thing. It is a podcast. This isn't an informational,
right.
hour long you know, you can only talk about certain things for so long.
Well, it's not an infomercial. It's not an infomercial,
right? You know what I love? I love what you're doing. But the biggest thing that I got out of just our conversation so far is that little bit of fear that you have.
You were so.
You know, but it's real.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people. Listen, I worked for a guy. I've had jobs. You know, I'm blessed and grateful enough that I can work for myself now. But I've worked for people. It's, you know, it is what it is, but there's nothing like working for yourself. There's nothing like putting your ass out there and taking the risk. I always tell my kids, you'll never work harder for yourself than you do for somebody else. I mean, it's always, you know, you're concerned about, like, the parking lot. If this was somebody else's building or somebody else's salon, you know, I park my car, I walk in, I do my job. When I own the place, I park my car farthest parking spot that I can find because I leave the good spots for the people that pay.
Of course.
And then I look for trash as I walk in. I check my flowers. I water everything. I make sure the floor is clean. I mean, it's important.
It's so important. But I also just think, it's funny that you, like, not harped, but, like, noticed my fear, because a lot of people, when they describe me, think I'm fearless because I do take risks. But what I think I do well and what I think, why I think this is such a good fit, is I'm super creative.
Yeah.
And I might not always be rational about my creativity. Like, sometimes you actually have to take me off of, like, my creative cloud and just be like, real life Courtney is down here. Your idea is, like, way up here. Just bring it down a notch. But I think that's why this business has worked, is when I haven't gotten what I've needed or wanted from a certain aspect, I'm creative enough to flip that and find a crazy, zany way to still somehow pull it together and make it work.
That's right.
So I'm just like, that's why it's just so awesome. And like I said, I'm just so lucky to do the two things that I've always wanted to do, is work with kids and share my passion for theater. And wow.
Well, there's enough humility in owning a small business that because I always say it's a balance between self-centered fear and humility.
Yeah.
You know, humility is self-centered fear's kryptonite.
Yeah.
You know, you can, if you live a life that's all about you, it's a miserable life. It may look good to others. It may look good on the thin skin on the outside, but inside it's not good.
Right.
And it's sad. And I'm, you know, I'm sure someone's going to say, it's not sad and it's not true. But I know for myself, like, we went to Mexico for our honeymoon and we stayed there for a week and it was great, but yeah. I can't be catered to. I can't have life go my way all the time. I can't wake up to, you know, waves and sunshine and just, you know, people bringing me drinks. I can't live like that. I have to suffer. I got to work. I got to be scared. I have to put myself out there. I've got to walk the thin line. I've got to look at my bank account and go, oh my God, you know. So, and then that justifies me going to Mexico every once a year or something like that and doing the fun things in life.
But I think that makes us who we are, right?
Absolutely.
We learn from suffering.
That's character.
We learn from failures. We learn from everything. I mean, the biggest thing for me with owning a business is I'm a people pleaser. I'm not going to lie. I like people to like me.
Yep.
That does not happen all the time when you own a business.
Nope.
You are going to annoy somebody. Somebody is not going to like how you did something. Somebody is not going to agree with how you did something. And you are not going to please everybody.
No, but I think if you're a decent person, it definitely changes the way they're mean to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's just some rude people out there that nobody's going to please them. But I think also you have to kind of develop thicker skin to do something like this, because stuff like that's going to happen. And for me, who's always like, oh my gosh, are you mad at me? Are you upset? Like, sorry, Courtney, people are going to be upset at you sometimes. People are going to...
Look, I always say we're a bunch of just frightened kids walking on the planet. You know, that's funny because Megan, you're the girl that lives in your neighborhood. You know, she had a great... she had a great response on her podcast. You know,
she
had over 100 listens.
She has a huge following. She's doing great things.
Yeah. You know, and I sent her a message and I'm like, you know, I just wanted to say you did a great job. A lot of people were interested in your podcast. You had a lot of listens. And I just wanted to say, good job. Thank you. And she never wrote back. I was like, uh-oh.
She's probably
Is she
just
mad at
busy.
Me?
No.
She hates me.
No.
Did I
not
do a bad
Megan.
Job on the podcast? Yeah. Did I not cover what she needed? And then I got a text for her. Hey, thank you so much. I really had a lot of fun.
So
you know,
funny.
By the way, Megan, I guess, she must have a life, you know, like she just doesn't sit around waiting to respond to me on Messenger. So, but that's, you know, but I'm the same way, you know, you try to live a decent life, but we still have that insecurities.
Yeah. I just think if you leave the world better than you found it, you did a good job. I think that's a good motto to live by.
Yeah.
You're leaving your mark on the world in a good way.
Yep. Being positive.
Yeah.
So what's the summer? You got two camps going on.
Got two camps going on.
Are you excited or are you like, oh, anxiety?
No, I'm super pumped. Nice. My lead teacher, Darby, is teaching them and she's phenomenal. She does an amazing job with the kids.
And I don't mean like oh, I got to do camp. I mean,
no.
Where sometimes, especially when you have a lot to do, a big list, you kind of
have trouble. I love camp. It's nice that Darby gets to teach it because I am actually teaching a camp in Pennsylvania. So Darby will teach the drama kids camps and I'll teach another one. And then honestly, as early as July, I prep for September anyway. Nice. So June's kind of my quote unquote downtime where I just try to focus on the kids, take them on day trips, do as much as I can with them before I have to kind of buckle down again. But no, I love camps.
If somebody was listening to this podcast and was interested in maybe thinking about doing what you're doing, but down here or somewhere yeah. else, could they contact you?
They could contact me. The best person to contact is actually corporate. And that's just dramakids.com. It has actually like a contact number. But
I mean, if
they
wanted to just get, put their feelers out, get your opinion, your thoughts.
Yeah, they could go to the Facebook page and find me. They could go to the website and find me. They could call my business phone, 302-477-1025.
Nice.
And I'd be happy to chat with them. Yeah, I'm always here.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because I just this conversation, just watching you, your inspiration made me think about opening a drama kids.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
Promise. I couldn't do it. I'm just too. I love my kids, but that's about as far as I go.
That's so funny.
My patience is.
You could still do it. There's several owners that don't teach at all because they're business minded. They do the business side and they have a staff that does the teaching, the marketing, the face to face with the parents. And they are like, hey, I got accounting. I got other marketing. I have the growth. I have the business mindset. I got this. You have that.
Well, and the other thing is I wouldn't do it is because, I would do it because I think that I could do it, but I probably wouldn't do a great job at it. And some things like that, they don't want to get a, if someone's going to do it, they need to be really into it.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a need for it. I just can't provide it.
I do too.
It's a fantastic idea.
It's a great program.
And my friend Donna, like I said, she mentioned Possum Point for kids, and we still might do that, but it seems like kids now are so busy too. But
I know.
Whatever. No, well, listen, hey, three flies later and an hour later. And
that is too funny.
And we had a great podcast. First of all, I just want to say thank you.
Oh my gosh, because thank you.
You came down from
Middletown.
Mm-hmm. And that's an hour out of your day. And for a person like you who's busy with kids, that's, that's got a lot of value in that hour. So I appreciate that you spent it with me.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
If I can do anything, well, you tell me whatever you want. I'll put on the link. We'll put websites and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, whatever I can do to help you, if you guys ever come down to the beach and want to hang out, go to the beach and stuff, give me a call.
Yeah,
and
I'll let you know. That kids sounds terrific.
Have a great day. Thanks for coming down. Anything else you want to say? Anything else?
No. Any more? Oh gosh, that's so pressure.
I know.
Oh.
Well, we can sit here all day.
No, it's okay. Thank you again so much.
I just don't want to tie you up all day.
No, thank you so much. And if anybody has any questions about Drama Kids of Wilmington, you
and I keep reading your shirt. So that's Drama Kids Rock the World.
We do.
I love it.
I wear these all the time. And you saw my car. You can't miss me on the highway anyway. Kids window. It's amazing.
I always tell anybody that comes on the podcast, you can come back.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
If you got something going on, if you want to promote something. And I think we just went over 800 listeners. I know that doesn't seem like a lot.
No, that's
but
fantastic. Good
yeah,
for you.
We're starting to scrape a few together.
That's
and
awesome.
Thank you. Anybody that listens, we appreciate it. But if you got anything you want to come promote a play, if you're just down, if you're around the area, and say, Tom, I want to come on your podcast again, call me.
I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.